throughout the ages, man has questioned and pondered about his identity. Who am I? Why am I here? We are quite interested in the origin and the process of life, aware that we are of that life. And so we go in search of ourselves. We seek identity in family, knowing us to be a member of that household. We think of us as a particular nationality, born into a distinct culture. We seek identity in our occupation, calling ourselves by that name: soldier, engineer, musician, bank teller, or store manager. We seek identity based on our hobbies. We call us gardener, golfer, or weekend warrior. We do a lot of seeking and searching, looking for us in many places. Now, I think much of this search has to do, begins with that word, I. Actually, the word I is our personal sense of identification. And what we say after that word pretty much tells us who we think we are. What we claim as our personal sense of identification has a way of outpicturing as our conditions and as our circumstances. When we think of us as the material form, as personality, we do our claiming in the world. I am rich or poor, healthy or sick, happy or unhappy. Now, these are not true states of identity. They come and they go, reflecting a condition of the moment. Still, because we use that word I, we claim it, and before long we begin to think of us as the condition. There was much confusion concerning the identity of the man Jesus. The prophets had foretold his coming, and they called him a Messiah. The people looked forward to the arrival of this individual. They had problems to be fixed and needs that needed to be met. A Messiah was considered to be a savior. Surely this person was coming to save them from their hardships, from the government, and from everything else that bothered them. However, when this individual did arrive on the scene, the people did not really understand his message. The man known as the Messiah really did not seem to be interested in addressing their sad condition. Basically, what he spoke about was his kingdom. And his kingdom apparently didn't have anything to do with where they were living. The learned men of the day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they also noticed the arrival of the man Jesus. They too had difficulty with his identification. He appeared to be a man of the cloth. It was said that he spoke and that he taught in the temple. But his message was not at all compatible with the dogma of the day. He was not in agreement with the rules and the rituals that made up their message. The problem was that there were those who were considered to be the common people, and they did receive the message. In time, the learned men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they considered Jesus to be a threat to their way of life, a threat to what it is that they had accepted for themselves, and they feared him. We are told that John the Baptist was sent into the world as a messenger, bearing witness to the Messiah who would come after him. Now there were those who mistook John to be the promised Messiah. But John said, no, that was not his identity. He said, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John represents natural man who recognizes and pays homage to the higher self, knowing that he is not that self. Now, Jesus did not ponder or question his identity. He knew who he was. He knew himself as Christ, the child of God. And his mission was to come into this world and tell others of the truth of them, so that they too could know themselves in this way. My Father, your Father, what I can do, ye can do also. Now, even though Jesus knew who he was, he totally understood that his identity caused confusion for others. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, we are told that he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Jesus also said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus understood that flesh and blood, the human identity, the human aspect of being, is not able to reveal Christ. He knew that Peter had spoken from a state of spiritual consciousness, and it was from that awareness that he was able to identify Jesus not as the Son of Man, but rather as the Son of the living God. The challenge for Peter and for the rest of us is to know us in that way. When we question and ponder about our identity, we look to that man of the Son of Man to tell us who we are. But that man can only reveal what is of the flesh, and that is not the truth of us. Jesus addressed the question of identity many times. There is a story concerning the Samaritan woman at the well. Now she saw Jesus, and she noticed that he did not have a bucket to draw forth or carry water. And she asked him, how was he going to get his water? So they had a conversation concerning water. He told her that he could give her water. If she would ask, he could give her water to drink, and if she drank it, she would never thirst again. Now the woman was amazed to hear this. Her vision was still drawn to the well, and the question of how one could draw up water without a bucket. And then he said, if you knew who I am, and that is the secret, if you knew who I am, you would never be in need. You would never lack for anything. Now, Jesus might have said the same thing when he fed the multitudes by multiplying the loaves and the fishes. If you knew who I am, you would not question what happened here today. Now, Jesus also spoke of having meat, which the man of flesh knew not of. When Jesus referred to the water and to the meat, he was referring to the inner substance that supports and supplies. He knew it was not possible to draw up from outside us what is necessary to sustain us. The important lesson for us is that it just wasn't his water and his meat. He told the woman at the well, if she drank of that water, she too would receive from the inner substance that maintains and sustains her. When Jesus told the woman, if you ask, I could give you water, he meant that she could ask the spiritual eye of her identity to supply and sustain her. By that word, I, he did not mean the personality known as Jesus, but rather the eye of spiritual identification. The spiritual eye is Christ, and his mission is to go before us, making every crooked place straight. It is not necessary to carry a bucket in order to draw up that which is within us. Turn to me and I will turn to you, is what allows it to come forth. When we question and we ponder about our identity, at some point we too may hear the words, if you knew who I am, you would no longer question or ponder in this way. It is now time for us to consider the question that Jesus had asked his disciples. Who do men say that I am? Let us be that individual who asked the question of us. Who do I say that I am? Just what is my personal sense of identification? Do I look at me and claim myself to be the child of man or the child of the living God? When I look at me, do I just see flesh and blood? Do I look at me and call me by the name of my biological family or by my occupation or what it is I do for a hobby? If I do this, I am identifying as that man whose breath is in his nostrils, experiencing everything that belongs to that particular sense of identification. It is now time for us to make an adjustment in our way of claiming for ourselves. We need to consider that word I and be mindful what it is that we say after it. If I really knew me as my spiritual identity, I would only claim what belongs to that identification. Let us learn to keep the divine I in heaven. That is to claim only what belongs to our spiritual identity. The inner substance that sustains and supplies, it awaits our recognition so that it may perform its function of sustaining and supplying. Now, the inner substance is our divine nature, and it is our birthright to live from that awareness. But first, we must know that it is there in order to claim it. Knowledge of its presence can only come to the one who is ready to accept it. Spirit cannot reveal itself in a consciousness not fit to receive it. It can only come to those who have heeded the message of John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now those learned men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were not prepared to receive it. Their personal sense of identification was wrapped up in dogma and rituals. They simply were not able to look beyond themselves as physical form. And this is true for many of us today. Many of us cannot go beyond what it is that we see in the mirror. Now, another thing that may cause confusion for us is our ability to think. We use thought as a way of becoming aware. And when we think after us in a material way, then we become aware of us in a material way. Soon we find us making determinations concerning what it is that we think is best. We don't bother to prepare the way for the Lord because we think we are doing just fine by ourselves. When we reason like this on our own, we leave God out of the picture, and we will not receive His guidance and His direction. It is the rigid idea that kept the Pharisees and the Sadducees tied to a ritual born of their own making. Actually, these individuals did not bother to question or ponder about themselves, about their identity. They thought they knew who they were. They knew themselves as the material form and name, and that is what they claimed to be. So, to them, that was reality. No need to question what is seen and accepted as reality. Now, a mindset in the ways of the world cannot enter the kingdom of heaven and will not know of the divine eye whose function it is to maintain and sustain. Now, Jesus walked among the people, and there were those who heard the message. At some point, each one of us will come to that place where we too awaken to the consciousness of who we are. When this happens, the words that we say after that word, I, will reflect this place of awareness. To be free of the delusion of a personal sense, it's a wonderful thing. When we live from the awareness of that divine I, we are instructed from within, and we know who we truly are. When the divine I expresses, it does so as health, as supply, as every good thing. We are no longer unfolding or becoming, no longer searching or seeking. These words belong to our time of learning, our time of coming to know. But once we know who we truly are, we simply express according to the divine idea. And yes, it is good and very good. Now, sometimes we refer to this process as an awakening. When we speak in this way, we mean that we are entering into spiritual consciousness, and that we also understand that it is us who does the awakening. Christ is already in us, and Christ neither slumbers nor sleeps. Christ does not awaken in us, but rather we awaken to its presence. The true self, the divine I, is conscious of itself and its truth, which is why we have been advised to attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Jesus knew the truth of Him. We are reminded that when we know the truth, that it will set us free. But the truth of what? The truth about us. The interesting thing about truth, talking about it, reading about it, is not what frees us. Knowing and abiding in it is what brings freedom. Freedom from the illusion of a self that is separate and apart from God. You really cannot abide in something without benefiting from its presence. Now, I started today's lesson with the statement that man ponders and questions his identity. And he should do so. Until man discovers who he truly is, he will be living like a cloud without rain. That is, having the appearance of something, but not the demonstration of it. The Son of Man, he appears in a certain way. But his potential is far greater than that. Christ is what allows the true self to come forth. It is then that we know us as the child of the living God. When we continue to live from the awareness of the biological family, or think of us as our occupation, we find us relying on that information for certain things. Success in these areas brings a certain degree of personal self-esteem, and we find us thinking of us in a particular way. We look to that self to do the work. We carry this idea into our activities, our actions, and our deeds, and we become known in that way. Whatever name we accept for ourselves, what it is we accept as our identity, will express, and we will be known in that way. The man Jesus did not concern himself with personal self-esteem. The idea of self which he carried with him was the one made in the image and of the likeness of God. His idea of self was, the Father and I are one. And he allowed his Father to do the work. And he became known in that way. John the Baptist told us that the one who came after him would be a light unto the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is the I am presence that is the light, the truth, the way, and the life. The I am presence is who we are. This morning, let us claim it with that sacred answer to the Master's question concerning identity. I am the Christ, the child of the living God. This morning, we have the opportunity to turn within and bear witness to the light in us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we are reminded that God is in the midst of us. In this time of stillness, we enter his presence and feel his peace. The promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Regardless of what we are experiencing in a material way, God is here. God is greater than our fears, greater than our concerns. There is a place in us not touched or disturbed by the human thought. Let us go there often, for it is the kingdom of heaven in us. And then we may give no thought. God expresses beyond word and thought. Be still and know is the way of recognition. The divine I am goes before us, doing the work. So let us rest in the awareness that God is all. There is no place where God ends and man begins. Now are we the children of God. God in the midst of us is our sufficiency. There is none else. Let us claim that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you turn within and acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.